everyone. Welcome to Addictive Love with your co-host, Pastor Chaz Ware. Our host, Robert Gould, is out this week. So once again, we are hijacking Addictive Love. Pastor Chaz Ware, 2x2 Ministry. We welcome you. Welcome you, everyone, to a great episode today. We're gonna talk about something I believe that every individual, male or female, has dealt with in the ministry, those of you believers out there. Not only are we going to mention this, give you an opportunity to think about it, but also give you some the scriptures and the insight through the Holy Spirit on how to overcome this situation. But first of all, I just want to thank our sponsor, EKG Environmental. Once again, EKG Environmental. Want to thank our sponsor and once again our host, Robert Gould, who is not with us today. And as I mentioned before, I'm Pastor Chaz Ware, and I'm with you today. And we are triumphant in the Lord. And we're going to be an instrument today to make a pleasing sound to your ears. If you're listening at work, you're listening at home, turn it up a little bit to gain a better understanding of where the Lord wants us to be as living organisms today and forevermore. We are looking to continue to walk in the fruit of His Spirit. We want to continue to hear an Addictive Love speak in abundance of life. As we get this blessed opportunity on the airwaves to come out and to speak God's word and love and truth and understanding, Addictive Love wants to open up an avenue for you to be intimate with God every Friday. Amen. We want to continue to reach those out there who may be having some difficulties with some individuals. And we just want to teach you how to love. Amen. Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, teaches us how to love through His word. Sometimes we're like Paul, right? Sometimes we're on that road to Damascus on our high horse. We got to get knocked off sometimes. We got to get blinded by the ways of the world. Don't see the things the way the world sees it. And allow the Lord to open up our eyes. Illuminate our truth so we can see greater and see the things that He wants for us. Amen. That's what Addictive Love is all about. So we welcome you once again here, Pastor Chaz Ware. EKG Environmental is our sponsor. And we're going to open a word of prayer. Then we're going to get into Galatians chapter 6. We're going to get, like I said, a real in-depth conversation today. I pray that you yell back, talk back to your radio, to whatever you got, whatever device you're listening on, and say amen. Say hallelujah. So, allow the conviction of the Holy Spirit to rest, rule, and abide in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. I want to thank Cam, our producer and engineer. Amen. Here at KCRO Christian Radio 660 AM. Great brother in the Lord, and I just enjoy our conversations. And that's what it's all about, iron sharpening iron. Amen. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah, Heavenly Father. We just thank you for this moment in time to dive into your word. We pray that we do not honor you just with our lips, but let our hearts be near to you. Let your word jump off the pages and be imprinted upon our hearts. And give us the insight that we need to strengthen one another day by day. For your word is pure. Your word derives from the senses of your holiness. So we strive to be that, holy and perfect in your ways. And we can only do that when we look unto you. When we lose focus and we begin to sink, then we're trapped by the things around us. So I ask you in the mighty name of Jesus right now to come into this place. Rest with us. Give us peace. Ears to understand your word today and eyes to see the path that you have for us. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for overriding the flesh and giving us the insight that we need to comfort us in times of sorrow, in times of error, in times of hurt and pain. We know, God, that you're giving us our daily bread, the nutrients that we need for daily life and daily living. We stand against the temptations that come against us and give you all the glory in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, hallelujah, it's good to pray, y'all. It is a blessing to pray. I heard something on the radio. I listen, not trying to throw any competition here on KCRO, but I was listening to K-Love 88.1, and then an individual said that sometimes when we pray and believers talk to one another, they said, hey, I'll pray for you. That's the least I can do. But the individual said, my mother told me that's not the least I can do. But praying for someone when you truly believe is the most you can do for someone. So just want to encourage somebody out there. When you see someone going through something, don't just say you're going to pray for them. Actually take the moment. Two or three gather in his name. He's in the midst. Amen. pray for someone in sincerity and love. We're in Galatians chapter 6 today. Starting at verse 1, it's on my heart to get through the first 10 verses, but we'll see how the Holy Spirit leads us. Ahava in the Hebrew language means love, and it's an action word. It means I give. It means the existence and a state of being. And I've realized during this ministry, it is hard to walk in Ahava. It is difficult to walk in love. It is difficult to give because sometimes we get hurt. Sometimes we see some things that detour us or can trouble us and cause vexation in our spirit. Those of you out there who are likening to what I am speaking of, you can just say, ooh, amen. Because God's about to send us a brief insight on how to be encouraged when we find a brother in error and walk in the spirit of restoration. Because it is paramount. Restoration in the body of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, KCRO listeners, it is paramount for us to restore a fellow brother, a fellow sister. Witnessing ravenous responses to someone who may be a novice or someone who may be misinterpreting a particular conversation in scripture, for someone to dive in on them negatively, that's not the work of a disciple. We are to restore, brothers. Scripture is going to speak of this, but we are to restore someone with gentleness and love. If you find a brother in error, making a choice or indulging in a specific sin, we as brothers and sisters in the Lord are to encourage them to get back on track. I don't know about you, but I think about the power that a train has, all the cargo it's carrying, all the weight. And if that train gets derailed and it goes to a certain town or village or whatever it may be, it can tear some stuff down. Eventually, it's going to stop, but it's going to bring some massive terror and horror as it's pressing through. So why will we not, as disciples and believers of the Lord, want to keep that train on track? Especially when you're spiritually mature. So that's some of the things we're going to be speaking about today and let the Holy Spirit just take his way. Galatians 6 and 1 tells us, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Witnessing another brother falling and not going to take heed to lift him up in love and in joy and in strength and in understanding can find yourself tempted in the same manner. Why is that? We ask ourselves, because why would me as an individual see another brother falling and not restoring them in meekness and considering ourselves lest they'll also be tempted? Because we are to return. The Bible tells us not to render evil for evil, but rather overcome it with good. I believe that's Romans 12:21. That is saying that when we are walking in the spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we're focused on the unrighteousness of a brother in a way that is not conducive to love, the action word, existence, and the state of being in love to our brother, then we ourselves have already fallen in condemnation. We've already failed. We've already basically lost the battle when we're judging this brother with the unrighteous indignation. When we look at him and basically consider him to be a heathen before we talk to him one-on-one, like Christ said, before we entreat him with love one-on-one and speak to our brother, bring in the scriptures out, right? It's not about your opinion. It's not about your thought process. It's not about your cultural upbringing, nothing like that. You are to go to the scriptures. I don't care what race you are, what color, what economic status you have. Scriptures outweigh all of the things of the worldview. We are to search the scriptures with our brother, pray in love with our brother or our sister and seek restoration, because we do not want neither of our brothers or our sisters to fall into the depths of sinful desires. It tells us in verse 2 to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Have you ever carried something for someone who you love? Come on, mothers out there, fathers. You ever carried the burdens of your children? I mean, how many of us carry the burdens of our children before they even fall into any type of situation that's hurtful, that can cause pain in their life? We're already preparing for their situation to be healed. How many of us out there have seen a brother or sister, I'm talking about siblings biologically, and you come and you restore them, you help them? How many of you have seen someone on the street corner, someone homeless, and have bared that burden with them and sat next to them? A couple weeks ago, I was at FedEx off 72nd and Dodge, and I was getting some things printed out for an outreach ministry, an evangelism ministry, and there was this guy laying right there in the strip mall on the ground, and I prayed because I witnessed this young guy, just pull up, and he had like Quick Trip sandwiches, subs, and chips and drinks, and went down there and just sat right next to the guy. And I said, wow, that's love. That's bearing one another's burdens. You don't even know this man, but the love of Christ inside of you blessed that young man. Was able to sit and give the love of Christ, feed him not only physically but spiritually. But yet then again, some of us can know someone, see them in the same, say, spiritual homeless, right? They don't have nothing of substance right now. They're all over the place, you know, and yet then again, versus coming and feeding them in a manner of love, we talk about them behind their backs. That's error. That is certainly an error. We are not to belittle, degrade, or talk mess about a brother in the Lord and cause drama when we are spiritual enough to restore them. But then there's a flip to the coin, right? If you're not spiritually sound, if you're not spiritually mature, then I pray that you ask the Lord to take you to these specific scriptures and to give you an insight to how to be a better disciple unto Christ to your fellow man. Because that is those who will fall and also be tempted. That's why the scripture says to consider thyself unless you be tempted as well. Verse 3 tells us that if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That is, you know, I'm gonna say something. That's clearly what occurs to a man. I've witnessed, and I'm talking about the book of Esther real quick, those of you who know about the book of Esther and Mordecai, as he did not bow down to Haman. He did not bow down to his authority. He did not give in to his ego. He did not give in unto his prideful self-centeredness. But yet then again, he did not bow down. He just gave all glory unto God. And Haman did not like him for that. Haman devised a way amongst his family and friends to build gallows to hang Mordecai due to his lack of respect, you would say, or a lack of following Haman. And eventually Haman was hung on those same gallows. And I say this because sometimes we as men or women of the Lord look at someone, have a negative mindset towards them, and we fall into error, and we look to expose someone for their lack of spiritual maturity. We look to expose someone because of their theology. We look to expose someone because of their act of, I would say, disobedience or lack thereof of spiritual maturity. And it feeds the flesh. It doesn't feed the spirit of God nor the body, but it feeds the flesh. And you look to have this individual exposed and kind of put out there for display to be heckled, to be laughed at, and to be bullied in a way. But then again, man, that same action that you can put forth toward that person can certainly come back on you because of your messiness. And the Lord wants us to restore one another. The Lord doesn't want us to continue to cause division. He doesn't want strife. He doesn't want contention amongst the body of believers. But he wants us to all remain intact as the body, to be able to move in a manner to where it's conducive and it is profitable for his kingdom building and his kingdom building alone, ladies and gentlemen. But when we place ourselves in a position to walk in God's lane, we can cause indignation and separation and strife amongst the brothers and sisters in the Lord, especially when someone's already at fault. Think about that. I mean, if you've already caused yourself to fall short, you've already caused yourself to be in a position to where you feel as if you're separating yourself from the Lord because of your sinful acts. How immature is it for another brother or sister to keep putting their foot on you when you're already down? How spiritually immature is that to spit on your brother when they're already down? To talk about them when they already feel as if they backslid. They already feel as if they made a decision or moved in a manner that was not righteous. And we are not to put our foot on them, but we are to restore them in gentleness and love. That is what the Bible tells us, that a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing. He is deceiving himself. And it happens. The enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy. He is the author of confusion, lies, and deception. So when you are in a position where you're thinking that you're doing more than what you are, then you have to be recorrected and you have to be convicted. And you must self-examine yourself in the scriptures. Let the scriptures speak to you, because the Bible says that let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in someone else. Which means you cannot sit in your church on Sunday and believe that the works that are being done or that you view are causing you to have a personal walk to get to heaven. You have to ask God, what is your personal walk? You are a member of the body of Christ. What is your purpose? What is your gift to the people of God that are lost? Who out there is walking in darkness and needs to hear the word of God and needs to see the power of the light? You be not a candle that is hidden, but be placed upon high, not hidden, so that someone can see the light, so they can see the view that they need to see. This is what the Lord is telling you and I, that we need to prove our own work one-on-one with the brother in the Lord, with the sister in the Lord, who has been provoked by the darkness of the world, and we need to sit with them. They may have been dealing with idolatry. They may have been dealing with witchcraft. They may be dealing with hatred towards someone, unforgiveness, variants of immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, drunkenness, all these different things that men and women deal with every day. But we are to press forward in restoration, reconciliation, redemption through the word of God, so that this individual can inherit the kingdom of God. That is our focus. I know when I read the word of God, Jesus Christ said, when he returns, he will separate the wheat from the tare, the goat from the sheep, the righteous from the unrighteous, the just from the unjust, which means our duty as disciples is to love. It is to walk in Ahava. It is to walk in the Hebrew word, meaning the example and the action of I give. I give myself in a state of being today as love unto my brother, my sister. Just as Christ Jesus gave himself for us, we are to walk in that same likeness. We are to give ourselves for our brothers and our sisters so they can be restored in a place where they can actually walk without that temptation every day. If we live in the spirit, ladies and gentlemen, let us also walk in the spirit. Amen. Let's also walk in the spirit every day. And that's why it says that let every man prove his own work. Because I can't boast in what another man is doing, y'all. You can't boast in what your fellow brother, your fellow sister is doing. You have to look at what God has for you. You have to be bold and you have to walk in that. Because every man shall bear his own burden. It's verse 5 of Galatians chapter 6. Every man. That's mankind. That's woman. That's you pastors out there who try to always delegate and push everything off on every other member, every deacon in the church. No, if you're walking in a pastoral responsibility, it is your responsibility to bear this burden. Even if it's hard, even if it's difficult, even if you don't want to obey, you must gird up your loins. That is what we are called to do. We're called to walk in these manners as members of the body of Christ, and we must walk in confidence. Let us not get double-minded and feel as because we got a title, we got a little bit of money in our pocket, or we got a little bit of fame or fortune, as if we can't walk in the same areas that we walked with in the beginning of our ministry. I'm going to sit there and walk with those who are homeless, walk with those who are downtrodden, walk with those who may have been incarcerated and just getting out of prison or jail. We walk with these people because we showed them the love of Christ that's in us, that no stature of money, no physical, financial stature separates us from these brothers and sisters in the Lord, because we're all striving for holiness. We're all striving to get to heaven. Verse 6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all things. Let him that is taught in the word, saying, if you're taught in the word, communicate this word unto them teaching in all good things. Come on. Like I was stating earlier, if you're looking to expose your brother in the Lord, if you're looking to ridicule them or persuade them unto unrighteousness, then how are you being taught and walking in those communication of all good things? That's not a good thing. That is not a good thing. We're talking about spiritual restoration. Brothers who have fallen, brothers who are troubled, sisters who have not held upon the modesty and the promise of a true woman of God, have not walked in that manner, but have fallen into bondage. What are we supposed to do when our brothers and sisters in the flesh and given unto the affections and lusts of the world? What are we to do? We are to restore them who have been overtaken in a fall. Man, I love, I got this show I watch called Pawn Stars. And a lot of times on that show, they bring in old items, whether it be old dentist chairs or old bikes from the 50s, kids' bikes, different things. And an individual comes in and after they buy it at the cheapest price for the way it looks, an individual may come in and look and give them an assessment on the price of restoration. And then they take their time with their gifts and their duties and they restore this particular item, and which once was beaten down, rusted, raggedy, you know, missing some parts, is now restored and beautiful and worth more than it ever was before. Look at the worldly aspect of that, right? And then grasp it on the spiritual aspect in Galatians 6. Just because something looks like it has no value, just because something looks like it's missing something, it's not fully 100% put together, doesn't mean that it doesn't have value. Come on, that young lady who you ran across and you became very judgmental, she has value. That young man on the corner that you see, that young child or that parent that's struggling on their own, that addictive personality that someone may have is looking to be restored. And we are the body of Christ. We are disciples. We are called in confidence to go and to grab a hold of these children of promise and to restore them in gentleness and love. Guess what, man? I've been there before where I've reached out to people multiple times. And sometimes, guess what? It hasn't always been positive. I've reached out and tried to restore people, and I've had people hang up the phone on me, not even want to talk to me no more, after they've gotten what they received. Point in case, a few weeks back, about 2 months ago, individual I spoke with, we prayed, we were getting strong together in the Lord. This individual had been sober. Mind you go from homelessness and addictive to alcohol and other items, and you go sober, you're unemployed, you go from sober to a place to stay, to a vehicle and a job in less than 7 weeks of sobriety and prayer. Hallelujah. But then a brother like, I haven't gotten a call back. I text, I'm not getting no responses. And who's to say where that brother is going through right now? But for that brief moment of time, God used me as a vessel just to help this individual and to encourage him, not boasting in self, but it was to see a brother in a need, in a spiritual place of he was a spiritual desert. There was no, what's the word I'm looking for, ladies and gentlemen? There was no type of vegetation, nothing living. But glory to God, it took love. And I don't have no animosities while I'm adding this in here. I don't have no animosity. I'm just thankful that the brother knows now the route to go. Now, I may not be the next individual he speaks with. Could be another brother or sister, Lord, that comes along the way. And there you go. God will give the increase in due time. I was just planting a seed. Someone else is going to water, and God will give the full increase. But that seed has been planted. That candle was lit, and I did not hide it. We got too many preachers, pastors, bishops, elders, men and women of God who are sitting around with so much wisdom, understanding, and life in them, and they don't pour it out to those who are amongst them. They hoard it. Let us stop being spiritual hoarders. It's time to restore. It's not the time to hold in everything that we have, but to pour it all out in these days that we're living in. Because the Bible tells us that in verse 7 of Galatians chapter 6, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 9 and 10, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Guess what, y'all? People in the household of faith fail. People in the household of faith walk in error. Oh, hello, hello. Sometimes they cuss. Sometimes they get upset. Sometimes they get angry. Sometimes they sin. They fall short. But is that a reason for you and I to judge them in peril? Is that a reason for you and I to put our foot on their neck and to make them feel less than? No, it is the duty of us to restore them in love. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. So what they're going to receive is what they give in. So that's the teaching we have to give them. When you do things of the flesh, you're going to receive the repercussions of that fleshly act. Let's not get it twisted. This is scripture and this is real. People are going through it right now. Men who want to be promiscuous and sexually immoral, having children with multiple women, guess what? Knock on the door. Hello, hello, McFly. Get a light bulb. Child support is coming for you. Right? Be wise on your decisions that you make. When you're older and these children have a negative thing to say about you, don't get upset with that child. You're the parent. You're the responsible party. You fell into sin and now you're reaping what you sow. I pray that you get convicted. Come to Christ Jesus. Get in your word and ask them to forgive you. Work through reconciliation. Restoration. This is what it's about. People are so stuck on themselves that they don't understand that God wants us to be restored. And sometimes it takes personal convictions, the word of God, the Holy Spirit, for us to come clean from things that we were doing that were so unclean. Man, y'all, this is beautiful. I got to get going, y'all. This is addictive love. We got so much more to unpack. But I know that you can take your own personal time, and I challenge you today to go and to seek the things that you've done in the past to someone, that where there's no relationship, there's division, that you seek restoration, that you look at a fellow brother who you know is falling short in the word of God, and that you come and you restore them. And you let them know that, hey, man, if you're doing something this flesh, bro, you're going to reap of that. This corruption that you're placing yourself in is not good for your spirit. Let's pray. Don't get weary in your well-doing. Because you will reap if you faint not. Come on, y'all. Let's gird up our loins. Let's quit being spiritual cowards out here, right? Let's be strong in the Lord. Let's love. Let's ahava. Let's put it in action. Let the Holy Spirit guide you today. EKG, we thank our sponsor, EKG Environmental. Once again, you're on Christian Radio, KCRO, 660 AM. I'm Pastor Chaz Ware, co-host, Addictive Love. I pray that the Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, by the name of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, bless you, touch your heart, restore you, put you in a place to where you can see your own convictions so that you do not be judgmental or hateful towards another, but yet come together in love. Let the atmosphere be shifted by your love towards your fellow brother and your sister. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Take me.